this one more time. Yes, all is well.
Wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. And I got to say things, and they're hard to say sometimes. I guess it was Saturday. This lady was, they were selling boiled peanuts, so I thought I'd stop and get some. And the lady that was selling them, she began to tell me how she had 3 adult children, a daughter, 2 sons. The son, one of them, had passed away, and the daughter had committed suicide. She asked me to pray for her and to, I'm asking you to remember her. Her name was Stacy West, but she asked to remember, so it's a hard thing to go through, but just remember her and her 2 children that she lost. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and ask your blessing be upon us. God, and guide and lead us through all troubles, trials, and tribulations. Lord, knowing that through you all things is possible, let our hearts learn to rejoice even in the dreadest troubles and trials that we face. Lord, we love you and we know that you love us. Yes. Father, you sent your only begotten Son unto the earth, Lord, because you loved us. And Lord, let us love one another always, Lord, whatever we do or wherever we go. God, be with us and trust. We trust that you will always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth.
Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people.
The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts.
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Say among the heathen that the Lord
established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously.
Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof.
Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice.
Before the Lord he cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and his people with truth. And God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. This time we're going to worship the Lord in our giving this morning. Brother Kern, you mind coming up with us this morning?
Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for your grace and your mercy, bringing us into your home, Lord, your house, Lord Father, to fellowship around the world. We thank you, Lord Father, this morning for all mothers. We thank you for giving them to us and for them being influential in our lives, Lord Father. And before we go and celebrate the commercial aspect of this day, Lord God, your people has come into your house, Lord, to hear and pay respects to our true mother, the mother of all mothers, the Word. Lord Father, we're thankful for that Word this morning. It has been a faithful mother. It has guided us. It has instructed us. When we was tired and weary, Lord, we could have laid on its breast, Lord God, of the New and the Old Testament. Lord Father, when we have been led astray, Lord Father, Mother will come and she will chastise us. Father, Heavenly Father, and as Brother Wade comes, Lord God, we pray that Mother will also speak to us, that we will hear from Mother, that we will listen to Mother, that we wouldn't be just hearers of Mother, but we will do what Mother says. And we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you will undertake. We pray that you will forgive us our sins and our trespasses, because we know that if we hide iniquity in our heart, Lord God, we won't hear from Mother. So we ask, Lord Father, that you will bless these tithes and offerings. We ask that it be used for the furtherance of your ministry, Lord God. We ask for those that are on the airways and on the internet, Lord, that they too will receive their portion. We commit the remainder of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy. Will be happy. To bear, all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy. Sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
As an old song says, I already like it, and I'm not even there. When you get just thinking about those things, how we're going to be thrilled over there. He said, well, I'm already liking it. I hadn't even got there yet. Everybody's going to be happy. Well, you know what? We can be happy on this side too. Amen. God bless you this morning. Sister Anna has a song for us this morning. So we're going to have her come this time. Oh, the ensemble's coming this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day. This is a song that you all know. Try to make them so that you know what it's speaking about. It is, what's the song? It's My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Yeah, right. But we are going to do it in a different beat. Join in. Right. All right. Chako tumaini sina, ila damu yake Bwana sina, mawa kutosha, dhambi zangu kuziosha. Chako tumaini sina, ila damu yake Bwana sina, wema wa kutosha, dhambi zangu kuziosha. Kwake Yesu nasimama, ndiye mwamba ni salama, ndiye mwamba ni salama, ndiye mwamba ni salama. Kwake Yesu nasimama, ndiye mwamba ni salama, ndiye mwamba ni salama, ndiye mwamba ni salama. Njia yangu iwe ndefu, hunipa wokovu, mawimbi yakinipiga, nguvu zake ndizo nanga. Njia yangu iwe ndefu,
bendizo na oh kwa ke Yesu na si mama ni salama ni e mamba ni salama ni e mamba ni salama oh kwa ke Yesu na si mama sadaka nategemea daima yote chini ya kisha mwokozi atanitosha damu yake na sadaka nategemea daima yote chini ya kisha mwokozi atanitosha kwake Yesu nasimama Yesu nasimama
Ndiye mwamba ni salama
Ndiye mwamba ni salama Ndiye mwamba ni salama Oh kwake Yesu nasimama
Ndiye mwamba ni salama Ndiye mwamba ni salama
Ndiye mwamba ni salama Oh kwake Yesu nasimama Yesu nasimama
Ndiye mwamba ni salama Ndiye mwamba ni salama Ndiye mwamba ni
Amen. That was wonderful. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's get ready to change order of service. Let's sing. Word of God ever true.
Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They reside
own heart, sing it to him. Oh, let the world true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God, sing it to him one more time. Oh, word of God, ever true. Oh, don't you love that? And changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God empower. Amen. You come today to get your part? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. Finally, the month of May. My goodness gracious, where did this year go? We're going to take a moment, let Brother Joe speak to you. So just have your seat. And then we got several announcements to cover, and we will do that just as soon as Brother Joe, come on. I'm going to play the piano while he does that. Not.
God bless everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you're happy to be in the house of the Lord. Just a quick announcement. You know, we have two upcoming services that we have two services for the Sunday the 17th and Sunday the 31st. As you know, periodically we practice with the musicians here, and they're doing a wonderful job. I don't know if you can tell. I believe the Holy Spirit's pleased with the flow and the rhythm of it. And so as we grow as a church, we strive for that. You know, I was talking to Brother Anderson, and he made a statement. He said, you know, those who play instruments, it's important to know always who you're playing to. It's not just to hear, it's to him. And that's what's important. And as we grow, we have other instruments in the church. We have percussion instruments, tambourine instruments. And so what we're going to do is those who play percussion instruments and tambourine instruments, we're going to have a training practice with all the musicians in the upcoming Sundays in a couple of weeks. And, you know, what this does, it helps the rhythm, it helps the timing, it just helps us all. And I think that's awesome. I think it's an opportunity that I even play the tambourine sometime, and I need some rhythm and training. But even with the little ones and the ones that come in, it's just opportunity to practice and be in just a unity. And so I wanted to announce that. And those who play percussion instruments, tambourines, if you're the children, even the parents, we want them here. Yeah. And that way we can kind of structure it and go through and just, you know, it's all for him. And you know, it comes from the heart. That's the most important part. And we all want to be a part of it. But it sounds beautiful. Yeah. You know, I think if Brother Dale was here, he would really be pleased. And I think sometimes God allows him to look over that banister and see our worship here. It's just not in spirit and truth, but it's in our talents. It's in who we are in Christ. So so we're going to have in between the services on Sunday the 17th, Sunday the 31st, we'll have all the musicians up here, those who play percussion instruments, and bring your instruments. We'll have a session of just playing and learning from each other. And then we'll go from there. I think that's it. Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
You can stay for a minute. I got a bunch of announcements to make and all this stuff. So just sit there for a minute, and we'll stand up in a minute and read scripture. Number one, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Even though some don't have children, that's okay. Because you know what? You're a mother. You have that attribute that you can't get rid of. Okay? Because that's what God made that attribute was for you to be a mother. So you mother something. April, good to see you today. It's good to have Sister April with us. And all the other, Brother Paul and his family back there, good to have them with us today. We sure appreciate them. I hadn't had a chance to meet him. I've been gone while he was here when he comes. So good to see you today, my brother. Good to have everybody here. Brother Luis is down at Brother Tony Yeboah's interpreting for Brother Donaldo. And then Brother Donaldo's family is down there with him. And then he's going to get ready to fly out. So just remember them in prayer. That's why they're not here today. Brother Aaron will be speaking this coming Wednesday. Just remember me in prayer Tuesday. I will join the ranks of the old people. Not that I hadn't already, but I'm going to have my teeth pulled, so my top teeth, and I'll have plates put in on Tuesday. Don't you smile with your teeth like that. You keep your mouth closed. But just pray for me Tuesday. I know there's one thing for sure. It's not going to be fun. So, but it's something you got to do as you get older. You lose things, you know. So just pray for us, and we'll be here Wednesday, Lord willing, listening to Brother Aaron speak. And like Brother Joe said, the next Sunday we'll have two services, and in between the services, we'd like to get everybody together that plays tambourines and all that, just so we can get some continuity, all right, and in playing. So, Brother Joe's good at that. He words it way better than I did. That's why I had him speak. So, why are y'all shaking your head for? Grief. So anyway, all right. Let's see. After service is over, we're gonna have a communion foot washing. But yeah, as you sisters go downstairs, Brother Terrence is gonna be down at the bottom or right here, giving you a card with a little gift in it for all the sisters 18 years old and above. All right, that's considered an adult. So 18 years old and above, if you're a sister in the church, you will receive a gift card with something in it, and then also a rose downstairs to take home with you. So happy Mother's Day. We love all of you. And as Brother Aaron says, we got a lot of mothers that took care of us, and we appreciate all of you. The wisdom that comes from that. So, all right, so remember that. I'm continuing on through. Remember, Sister Jessica's watching in from Ohio. Just remember her in her pregnancy, Sister Jessica Mendiola from Ohio. It was good to be with them last weekend and spend some time with them, and just pray for her as she goes through this pregnancy. And now, Sister Janet, I don't know if you're going to have four or five, but we pray one is good and healthy. Had to kind of make room over here on this side, you know. But that's a mother. We appreciate all them. So, and remember Sister Lisa and her family, the loss of her father. And we lose, but we don't quit. We just keep going. Right. Amen. Amen. Keep going on. So remember that. Also remember, when we went to Ohio last week, we had a good time. I want to not give much of a report next Sunday, because when you get 20 pastors together and their wives, we concluded that what goes on in Sugar Creek stays in Sugar Creek. So anyway, but there was one book, and that's what shocked me as I was talking to Brother Joe the other day. With those 20 pastors, message believers, pastors, they quoted a lot from Spurgeon and Moody and read different books and promoted different books that were not message books. And, you know, if you don't like that, that's your thing. That's your problem. But Brother Branham was a very well-read man. He didn't read his own books. They weren't written yet. So he read others. All right? He did. He said he did. Ura Smith and Clarence Larkin, different ones. So, but there's one book, and I'm going to start reading it. It's called A Praying Life. If you want to look it up on Amazon, it would be a good read for you to get, A Praying Life. And Charles Spurgeon said, what you are upon your knees is what you really are before your God. Amen. What you are upon your knees is what you are before your God. And then let me read this right here that come from this is a man named E.M. Bounds. A praying pulpit will beget praying pews. We do greatly need somebody who can set the saints to this business of praying. I'm going to make a point here. We are not a generation of praying saints. Non-praying saints are a beggarly gang of saints who have neither the ardor, nor the beauty, nor the power of true saints. Brother Brown said the most powerful weapon God gave anybody was what? Prayer. prayer. All right, so from the pulpit backward that way, we're going to start praying more. I'm going to start praying more. And you know, we say again, save your, you know, praying inside the building. Brother Bram said, say a good, short, quick prayer. He said, save your long prayers for in your prayer closet or in your daily walk. The Bible says pray without ceasing, and I think that's what most of us do anyway. We think on God, but there has got to be a time that we set aside to pray. And I'm lacking on that. So I'm going to start, and then I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I mean, what gets me is, and I'm sorry some of you haven't been here very long, but we used to have prayer meetings on Saturday, and out of 70 or 80 people, maybe 10 people showed up. Well, that showed me one thing. You don't have a very good prayer life. Well, don't get silent on me, because that we opened it up to just sit here and pray, and nobody came. So, but the ones that did, I think we got something out of it. So we may have another prayer meeting on a Saturday night. Coming up here, it's whatever's important to you, okay? And you'll show what's important to you as we continue on, amen? Because we're coming to a place to where if we don't hold the line, we're going to fall behind, okay? So let's start our prayer life and let it be more. Again, if you want to look at that book on Amazon called A Praying Life, I can't remember who wrote it. We got a couple of copies the other day through Amazon. And just remember that you can order it from there. And there are a couple other books that can, need to be read. And I'll get to them a little bit later. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for holding out the last 2 weeks while we've been gone. We were at Brother Dutch Scott's, and then we traveled up to Ohio and stayed there for 4 days. And then we went over to the Ohio group, and their pastor's gone today. They're in Louisiana looking at their new grandbaby. Why would somebody want to go look at a grandbaby in Louisiana? But I would too. So God bless you all. I know you're watching in. So we had a wonderful time this past weekend, and then we wound it up by being with Brother Richard Wilson and Sister Janice for a couple of days. So we appreciate their friendship and their fellowship. And like I said, they'll be here in June to be with us during that time. And also, Brother Andre, we will not be going there in July this year. He's got some sisters and brothers with health issues. Plus, he had to put in a $15,000 air conditioner unit or heat and air. So that kind of dug into his funds. And so we have decided to forego the annual July meeting up there, but they're going to try to come down here when Brother Stephen and Brother Richard are here. So they're going to try to be here during those two services. So just keep them in prayer. So let's stand to our feet. And, you know, this is the month of May. Amen. This month, may your finances multiply. Right. May your health improve. May your friends be blessed. May your family be loved. May your pain go away. May your worries disappear. And last but not least, may God bless you, is my prayer. All right, we're gonna actually speak today on Mother's Day. I just went ahead and put the second seal, but we're going to talk about mothers just for a little bit. Won't be a very long service, but I thought maybe we could do it, and I appreciate all the mothers. Now, remember one thing. Brother Bram said a true mother can help you, and then I know some of us, not me, but some of us have grown up with no parents, or it doesn't matter. Somebody influenced you and helped you along the way. Amen. All right, so so God sends us, if we're a son and daughter of God, he sends us people on our way, on our journey to help us. Because remember, he's God. He loves us. He doesn't want us to go wrong. So he gives us people in our pathway, even maybe just for 30 minutes. but it's something that'll help us and lead us and guide us in the right way. So we appreciate all of you. So let's bow our heads before we get started. Turn to the book of Galatians, and we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the time that we have. Lord, truly, there's a lot of things that we don't do that we should do. Prayer is one of them. And Lord, talking to you, why wouldn't we want to speak to you more than anyone else? Father, because you're the Prince of Peace. You're the great physician. You saved our soul. You healed us. You delivered us from destruction. All those things in the scriptures talking about us, Lord. And you took us out of the miry clay, as the song says, and set our feet on a rock to stay. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Bless every mother that's here, Lord, and every mother to be. I pray that you'd be with them, Father, and touch them. Lord, we go back and think about all the times that even with grandmothers and different ones, how they would help us. Sometimes we'd think they're hurting us, but it's the tender hand of Jehovah. It's what helped us through our life. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you for giving us a time, Lord, that we can sit and talk about you with a group of people that want to talk about you. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick. Be with the ones that are downtrodden. Father, I pray that you bless them, ones that are not here today. Some of them are traveling. And, Lord, I pray that you bring them back, Lord, safely and sound. Just give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to take a little thought. Galatians 4, verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, okay, a woman, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, if you don't know that, that's talking about who? Isaac and Ishmael. All right. Isaac was a promised son. Ishmael came by permissive will. All right. Or the bondwoman, which was Hagar. All right. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar or Hagar. Right. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. That's why you see all that fighting going on over there. It comes back from Isaac and Ishmael. Right. Ishmael, the wild child, Ishmael's going to have his hand against everybody else. That's where you get the Palestinians. That's where you get the people in Iran and Iraq, if you didn't know that. They're fighting now like they were fighting back then. But we're going to take this as an allegory because we're going to have to use it spiritually today. Right. All right. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You may be seeing the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word, which is mother of us all. So now as we become a Christian, we know that life only comes through the Father. All right. Life only comes through the Father. All right. The mother's the incubator. The mother's the nourisher. The mother's the one that's connected to you. She's the one that feeds you through the umbilical cord. All right. That's in the natural. Now, would you not think that as an allegory that we are born again by our Father, which is in heaven? But it takes something to nourish us, all right? It takes something to nourish her, or nourish us, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, what nourishes us in our Christian journey? If you have a Bible today, you're looking down at it, or you're looking at an iPad, or you're looking up here on the screen, there's your mother, all right? Which is the mother of us all. We can, under Christianity, we are birthed by the mother, but we know what happened with the father. The father's the one that plants the seed. The father's the one that has the life. The father's the one that says, as Jesus said, you must be born again. And that's why poor Nicodemus had a problem with that. He said, I got to go get back in my mother's womb. Jesus said, no, you don't. How do you understand, you know, this, and I'm going to try to teach you that? He said, no, you got to be born from above. which was the New Jerusalem, which was coming when Jesus said, you must be born again. That was the New Jerusalem coming down. All right, coming down of the new birth. But remember, as me and Brother Donato and Brother Luis were speaking, talking last night, we were talking about the number four. And the number four is justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the implantation of the seed, or the quickening of life, right? That's the new birth. But remember, if your mother had you, she's going to nourish you continually until you can eat for yourself. And then some of us still like to eat our mama's cooking at home. Amen. Well, everybody say amen. Amen. All right. So that's why God gave us a Bible that's eternal. Yes. These words are eternal. So there'll be an eternal nourishment. In that number four now, is, as we were talking last night, that number four, Brother Brown says it's an earthly number, and he said it's an off number. But remember, that number four is full redemption. All right, that number four is full redemption. Luther, he taught justification, and we know that Wesley looked back to him and taught justification and sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost to bring the full new birth to the people. But remember, they didn't have anything to grow by. Right. Even though they might have read where Paul says, you know, you desire the sensual milk of the word, you know, you're babies, you need to be eating meat. Well, see, that's where we had to have a prophet come in the end time to tell us where our nourishment come from. Right. Now, we've known it's come from the Bible. But remember, that's the mystery. That's what we're trying to see in the seals. That's where the mysteries were. The mysteries were sealed up of how to grow to full maturity. Right. All right? Amen. And every mother in here today, you want your child to grow to full maturity. They're beautiful little babies, and Sister Janet is going to just love and love that. But if time goes on, if that baby's 20 years old, she ain't going to be holding it back there. I hope. I hope. Now, some of us, anyway, let's continue on. But that's our nourishment, is the mother. So God give us parents. He's the father. The word's the mother. Because remember, if you go back and see that Paul says that anybody that's born of a woman is what? Dead, in other words, full of trouble. So we're not talking about being that mother is somebody's going to birth us. No, in Christianity, the father births you. The father's the one that gives you life. But your mother is given to nourish you, and also, besides this, giving all diligence, add. And how are we going to add? Ephesians 4:12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. What? For the perfecting of the saints. In other words, for the whole body to be able to work together. All right, the whole body is never, ever. I'm talking about bride now. Now, Jesus Christ, he was all together. But there's not been a bride on the earth until this day and hour that's able to take the full brunt of the word of God and make it manifest. Yes, right. All right? And we're heading toward that and preaching the seals that should be our nourishment. That's why I just can't see how people, as we continue to get further and further down the road, people just stay out of church for anything. Amen. I get my nourishment here. You say, well, you're a preacher or you're a pastor. You should be. I get it there. But I get my nourishment right here when Brother Aaron preaches, Brother Luis preaches, Brother Manuel preaches. Wonderful job today, by the way. That was great. So you know what? That was my nourishment. You are what you eat. Now, that wasn't a quote out of the Bible. That wasn't a quote from Spurgeon or Dwight Moody. I don't know who said that, but it's exactly the truth. You are what you eat. And you're going to become what you eat. All right? So if we eat the word of God, we'll become the word of God. If we don't eat the word of God, even though we be Christians, born again, we can die in our seats. Amen. We can die in your seat today. Yep. You've got to continue on. Yes. You've got to say, God, I want more of you. Listen, if you're a Christian, we talk about pulls, a third pull, second pull, first pull. What is that doing? That is pulling us to God.
Yes.
We're pushing him away, and he's pulling us to him. So here we are, the second pull, which was the ministry of Jesus Christ, which we're still in. I don't agree with people saying that that the denominations and all these other people are second pull. No, second pull is the putting together of scripture. That's prophecy. That's where Brother Branham said that the world at the time of Jesus's, now Jesus was the Son of Man. At the time of Jesus's ministry, they crucified him on his second pull, which was his ministry. They hated his ministry. All right? And so are they going to hate our ministry. We're different. We're not the same as the world. But now don't think that in your mind. I was thinking back there a few minutes ago. I said, Lord, don't ever let us live above, try to live above what our means are. All right? Same way with everything. But also, no big eyes, no little U's. It's like I said before, Sister Tabitha and I were talking about, they were doing a study on their book of Psalms where it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I never have been comforted by a rod. Well, praise the Lord. Whether it be in the form of a belt or a hickory or a board or a knife or a brush, and I'm not speaking from experience here. Well, yeah, I am. But all of us. That, because she asked me, she said, why does he say thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me? Well, that is because it is a rod of correction. We have to, sheep have to be corrected, but once sheep is corrected, the staff is to bring them in. All right? It's got the hook, the shepherd's hook. Well, what's that for? That's today. We see people that are not sitting here today. My daughter and all the different ones that are not sitting here today that need to be here. Okay? Amen. That's the shepherd's hook. We're wanting to bring them in. But sometimes, remember, the 90 and 9 stayed home and the Lord went after the one. And sometimes he has to break our leg to keep us from running away. But if you're a child of God, I'll guarantee you, you'll make it. Okay? I guarantee you, if you're a child of God, you're going to make it. It may be hard. We were talking at the pastor's, and Dad said this forever, but nobody ever really believed him. Dad said, we blame the devil for too much. Well, we talked about that at the pastor's retreat. We blame the devil for a lot of things that we do on our own. Okay? Amen. It ain't that the devil made me do it. Now, he influenced you. But you did it. Okay? You're the one that pulled the trigger. You're the one that went out from God. He didn't go out from you. Okay? So the rod is for correction and the staff is for bringing in. And that's why we need both. All right? We need to have a balance. Because we must have a balanced diet to have the right nutrition so that we can grow up. All right? And I'm saying this in the gospel. You can't eat slop and take a body change. You can't eat the things of the world and take a body change. You must focus. And now listen, let me rephrase this. We are not message zombies. We're human beings. But there's a desire in your heart that's different from the world, or it should be. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to do what I said, is start praying more and ask God to reveal those things to you. Because when we were in that first seal, there were some things revealed to me that I had personally not seen before. And it had to do with me. How much iniquity I really had. Well, I'm going to raise mine, and Brother Donnie's, me and two, the only, well, hold on, one, two, we got people that are not lying, we got people that are, people that are not, so we'll pray for that iniquity part of the lying part, because you know better. But that was revealed to me. I wasn't looking for a denominational idea, I was looking at my idea. I was looking at my way of doing things, and if the seal can open and reveal that, then what's the other one's going to open and reveal? And then what that does is, see, the seals didn't open. Listen, the seals did not open to make us have a big head. We know more than they do. We got better than they. No. It humbles us that God sent us a prophet. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. All right? He sent him to me to turn my heart back. Well, what did my heart get turned back to? The truth. Okay? Now, once truth is open, once the seals are open, see, you can either do what it says, or you can go off into the mystery of iniquity, as we were talking. That's why I said the first seal is the most important seal. Because if brother, and to Brother Branham it was, he said, if I had done this, he said, I would have. In other words, we were talking this weekend, when you fire a gun and it's off by 6 inches at 100 yards, it's going to be off 12 inches by 200, 16 inches by 300. You got to come back and line them up.
Yes, sir.
All right, and then when you line them up, then you can fire the bullet. It doesn't matter if you hone it in at 100, it'll be honed at 200, it'll be honed at 300, it'll be honed at 400. What? I'm not on? I sound pretty much on. Oh. This is my son, John. I just want to tell people online that you're doing something real weird back there. This is my son right here, my boy.
Bring him.
Hmm? Us and these stinking batteries. Anyway, so God give us a promise that he'd never leave us or forsake us. He'd give us, he would equip us for what we needed for our journey. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. So as today being Mother's Day, let me ask you a question. Are you doing everything you need to do to take you to graduation? Are you doing everything that you need to do to graduate? We've got everything we need. We don't have to go. We don't have to. And listen, we're talking about these other books. There's a lot of people in the message that don't even want to read nothing else. Well, you know, that's okay, but. Narrow-minded people. I like what Brother Bram said. People can be so narrow-minded you can put a lead pencil between their eyes and hit both eyeballs. That's pretty narrow-minded.
Amen.
Think about that. Think about that. Now, Brother Bram said that, so that's a direct quote. All right? Amen. They were so narrow-minded. We've got to not be so narrow-minded that even a Holy Ghost-filled person that's not a message believer, okay, that was back when, Dwight Moody, Spurgeon, we were talking about F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth, Brother Brown said it was the old oak tree. It was somebody he could go to and depend on. Do you know F.F. Bosworth never accepted the message?
That's right.
He never accepted the message. He was still a Trinitarian. He still baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He could not see the revealed word for the hour, but that wasn't his revealed word for his hour.
Right.
But he'll be there in glory. And he won't be in a smaller house than you got.
Come on. That's right.
Amen. If he's bride, which I know he is, he'll be in the same city you're in.
Right.
Okay, so let's just not be so dogmatic. Sometimes people are so dogmatic, you ask them if they read Brother Brown's books.
Yep.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
It's checkup time.
Amen.
Time to check up on ourselves.
Amen.
To make sure that we are eating, that we're, our mother has given us everything we need. All right? The Father made sure of that.
Amen.
All right? But he gave us everything we needed for our journey in the Scriptures, and then the Scriptures are now more clear because of what the prophet said. And listen, because we do have a prophet.
Yes.
Listen to me. Because we do have a prophet that told us the truth, we can read other books. Okay? We can read other books and do like Brother Ram said, if he's a Trinitarian, Spit the seed out. Keep eating the cherry pie.
Amen.
Boy, they had one. I don't care much for cherry pie, but boy, they in Sugar Creek. They anyway, it was good. So I got my nourishment, and it shows. But I thought about it when I was eating. I thought, you know, this is so good, Regina. This is just, I mean, it's so good. What if I bite into a seed? It's like Brother Brown said. He said, now you don't throw the. I'd have shot you if you'd have grabbed my pie. Throw the seed out, keep eating the pie. That's the same way with us. There's one thing I know for sure. All right, let's go back to Brother Branham. Let's go back to the message of the hour. There are no pits in the message. Okay? When you see the truth and you see the essence of this message and why a prophet had to come and why that he gave us all these great mysteries, there's not a place where you spit something out. So see, I can have confidence doing that. But all this other, I can look at it and see. I can say, well, you know, Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a wonderful man. He was a born-again believer, but he had you know, denominational ideas. But for his time, this was his time to do what he done. So he took his mother, read what he could, because the father had a master plan. All right? The father has a master plan. Remember what someone was speaking not too long ago? The mother, she likes to, you know, fix around the house and do all this and do the motherly things. Well, the father's like, where are we going to live? How are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do? How are we going to build it? That's our, you know, we going to make the money. We kill it and grill it. Okay? Kill it and drag it home. But the mothers don't do that. So God has done the same thing. He's the father. He knows what he's doing. He's give us everything we need. So now we need to drop down and listen to the mother every once in a while. One more time. Right here. It's where you get your nourishment. All right, let's move on. Let's go to, I love this part. We were talking about this. Actually, last night we were talking about this. So now watch. Now, first thing you know, I see when he's 99. Now, this is Abraham, or Abram, coming to Abraham. God appears to him to kind of confirm this thing. Now, remember, I didn't pull this quote up, but Brother Brown says, every son of the faith in the end time is going to make this same walk that Abraham made. Now, that's almost a direct quote. Right. All right, so whatever Abraham went through, you and I have got to meet Melchizedek, which was God in human flesh, a prefigure of the Son of Man. Everybody with me? That wasn't the flesh of Jesus. Okay? But that was the soul of Jesus. Amen? Melchizedek was Jesus Christ unveiled in a flesh that was created when he stepped down on earth. It just put all that together. Everybody with me? That man couldn't die for you. The person the body couldn't die for you. Okay? But he was in an order. He was in a priestly order to come to Abraham. And what did he tell Abraham? Abraham, you're going to have a child. Then he comes to this and tells him, now watch. He confirmed it in the 17th chapter of Genesis. He appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai, which the El Shaddai in the Hebrew word, which means the breast or the breasted one. Like the mother with her baby. You take a little baby, said, now, Abraham, I am El Shaddai. See, that's what God's doing to us now. We tried to figure this thing out for 60 years. Abraham tried to figure it out for 25. He made a bungle of it because he now's got an Ishmael to deal with. And even to Abram said, oh, that Ishmael will walk before you. And God said, that's not the one.
Right.
I told you, I will visit you. So he has to come in person to tell us. I hope you're getting this. He had come to tell us in the person of Melchizedek, God in human flesh, what's really going to happen.
Right.
You're going to have it. You're going to have it with Sarah.
Right.
But I visited you to tell you, quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out. You're 99. Sarah's almost that age. You had never had children before, ever. So you just what? Lean on me, and I'll give you what you need. So that's what he says. Abraham, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Now, yes, you're old. Your strength's all gone. Sarah's womb is dead. She's 90. Little grandma like now, a great, great, great grandma. 90 years old. She's awful old. The people laugh at you and make fun of you, and they're going to do the same thing with us. But I am the breasted one, like a mother to her sickly fret baby. Now, when the little baby's all weak and run down, his strength's gone, the mother pulls it up to her bosom. In other words, nourishes him. The child nurses his strength from the mother. The mother's strength becomes, look, the mother's strength, look at me, the mother's strength becomes the child's strength.
Right.
as he draws from you, as he draws from her.
Right.
So where does our strength lie? In the Bible.
Amen.
In something that if I were to tell you to ask you to raise your hand, that they wouldn't be a third of you would say you hadn't read your Bible in the past 2 or 3 days. But you can tell me that Bobby Cox died, Ted Turner died. The batting average of your favorite baseball player. Are y'all quiet for a reason? Okay, that's what I thought.
Amen.
So how are you going to, that's why we're malnourished.
Amen.
That's why we're still here.
Exactly.
And I'm talking from here back, I told you. I'm talking from right here that way.
Amen.
Okay? I told something the other day, and it's the honest truth, and I kind of chuckled, and Jim did too, but Jim was talking to somebody on the phone, and she said, well, I don't want to bother Brother Wade. He said, he's studying for a sermon. I was watching a hunting video. Your sins will find you out. She said, don't bother him. Said, he's in there studying. I was watching a hunting video, hunting a mule deer video. So anyway. But listen, like I said before, we're not zombies. We're not. I don't want you to be over here. There's a balance right here. All right? You must be a human because that's exactly what you are. But you're a human with the Holy Ghost that should bring you back to the center of Christianity. Okay? Just a little something today to help you. Maybe it'll nourish you a little bit. Maybe you hear from your mama today. Get your nourishment. Because remember, let's move to this real quick. Revelation 1 verse 13 says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now here's a man standing with the seven golden candlesticks. John sees the man. He knows who it is. It's Jesus.
Right.
Amen? But he's standing there with his arms out in the midst of the seven church ages, but he has the sash up around his breast. Paps means breast.
Amen.
All right? So as Abraham was told to, hey, lean on me, I'll feed you. He's telling the bride down through the seven church ages, the only way you're going to get fed, though, listen to me, you got to hear it from the bride. So you got to hear in the feminist form, we must hear what's going on. Remember, we're all feminist in the body of Christ. Everybody said, I don't care if you got hair on your chest. No. Or not. We all are feminist in the body of Christ. But being feminist, as Brother Brown said in the church age, but being feminist in designation, she is him. In other words, they have married. We have married. By the new birth, we married, but what does he want to do? He doesn't want to keep you bride. Because in Revelation 19, the Bible says his wife has made herself ready. There's your number four. There's your furtherance of the word of God, is that he does not have a young bride on the earth. He has a wife that knows what to do. Now, some of y'all been married a long time. Me and June be 47 years coming up. And strangely enough, she does think like me every once in a while. Well, praise the Lord. Pray for her. That's what I told them. All 20 of them, all 19 of them preachers up there this past weekend said, Sister June, we'll pray for you. They ain't nobody pray for me. I don't know what they meant by that. She's my rock. All the things she does, oh, my Lord. Y'all just don't know. So now what God has done is, let me finish this. What God has done, he's always wanted to work through a woman. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. He didn't just say, Adam, you're going to produce all the children, and that's the way it's going to be. No, Adam said, look, I'm lonely. There's something inside of me desires to procreate or to have a creation. Adam says, God, you told us before you put us in flesh to multiply and replenish the earth. Now, how are we going to do that? He got the revelation, but Eve did not. Because when Eve came out of Adam, she wasn't a lesser person, but in other words, she had different attributes. She was able to be deceived. Everybody with me? I'm sorry, that's what Brother Bram said. Okay? But now from that is every type that we're standing here today, the second Eve, and we've got the same scenario, but we're not gonna fall. Same scenario. Satan's coming to us telling us, oh, everything's okay, or you know, the message ain't always it and you need to go find something else, or even stay in the message, just don't read no books. Don't pray. Just sit in the message church. If you'll just come to church, Brother Wade won't say anything about you because you're sitting there. Well, that's between you and God. But I'll promise you one thing, you will never, ever, 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 ever have to beg a true believer to go to church. Ever. Okay? So if it's the drudgery to come to church, you need to be in the altar seeking the Holy Ghost. Where do you get your nourishment? Thank you, Brother Carlos. Good to see you, man. You have to wait and get those amens a little bit later because of the interpreting. But we love our brothers, man. We sure appreciate them. Amen. But go back to Adam and Eve, as we were talking about just for a minute. In Adam and Eve, remember, Brother Ram was talking about the masterpiece was marred because it was a perfect Adam and a perfect Eve at the time. But remember, what did she do? He said if she had stayed behind the word of God, she wouldn't have fell. But for his attributes to be made known, to be made manifest, he like Brother Brown said, he knew when he put him on flesh, in flesh, it fell, because he's God. He knows everything. Okay? But she still had to make a choice. We run into a brother or a guy that had went to the Ohio church, just started coming, dating one of the girls there. He believed in predestination like the Presbyterians. You know, you're saved and you're not. I like you, but I don't like you. You're going to do this anyway. So, and that's the way some people believe, that there's no free moral agency. Right. There is no choice. All right? So I had to get up and use the bathroom. And the reason I'm saying this, I made my exit. And he said, well, I just don't see that. I said, all right, so let me ask you a question. I said, did you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He said, yes. I said, you made a choice. And I went to the bathroom. Ain't that right? He made a choice. So we do have a choice. Eve had a choice. Adam had a choice. Satan had a choice. God had a choice. It's all built on choices. Everybody with me? All right, so let's read this right here. And then we'll finish. I told you we're not going to be too much. To you little mothers here this morning, that's been real mothers, and I know there's many of you, I think every one of you. Let me tell you something. God bless you. You're the fifth gospel. I think, let me tell you what's in there for your children, just a little thing, because Brother Neville will probably preach on it, on mothers, about mothers tonight or whatever, whoever, one of us, about mothers. But listen, let me ask you a question. Remember, when Moses was a little boy, it was a mother who gave him his instruction. It was a mother who gave him his instructions. Because remember, it was the word of God being made manifest. Does everybody see that? Even though it was the mom that put her kid in the ark and put him down the river, that was God speaking through that woman. You're going to be a deliverer. You're going to deliver the children. Well, how'd she know that? God gave her a revelation. It was a godly mother who took little Moses on her knees and said, Moses, taught him well. He was her teacher, or she was his teacher, rather, under Pharaoh, and said, now these things, said, Moses, someday you're going to deliver the children of Israel. You're the boy that's called. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world, for you're the one. You're the one. No other place do you know where he was ever went to any seminary, any teaching he ever got. He stayed right in Pharaoh's palace, which was a heathen. But his mother taught him. That's a real mother. She taught him the precepts of the Lord. Okay? So there's your ministry, sisters. Teach your children the precepts of the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us, though, that they may go away. But when they get older, whatever's planted in there, one day is going to come to life. Because I believe that you mothers, the ones you sitting here today that have wayward children, that you speak from your heart. God sees it. He listens to it. He knows it. And he's going to do something about it. But remember, it's his time, not ours. Okay? It's his time to do these things, not our time. But what we got to do, though, we got to keep believing and living the life before them. As Brother Dale said, he said to some of y'all, he said, the way you live, I wouldn't want to be in church either. That's what he pretty much told them. Right? Because, you know, they look at you. And I'm going to say it anyway. You know, if you got a job here, you need to be here before 10 o'clock. Because you know what? Somebody looks at you. Not just me, but people around here. They get here at 9:30 to listen to the service, the tape, the praying, and all that. Everybody with me? I don't know what your excuse is, but to God, it's not an excuse. If you got something more important than Christianity, then you're not a Christian. But you got a way to be a Christian. It's to get in what? Get in the mama. Get in the mother. All right? Get into the studying of the Word of God where it tells you, forsake not the assembling yourself together. I know people let everything in the world get in the way. But you know what? When you get to the white throne judgment, that's all going to be played back to you. And if you're at the white throne judgment, that means you didn't make it. We got to do these things right. Listen, everybody's looking at everybody. So if you got a job here, please be here at 9:30. That's a time for you to sit down and relax your mind before you come through that door and stand up here and try to get a group of people ready for service when I don't know that you got ready for one yourself. So I'm just saying it to everybody, okay? And the reason I'm saying this is because somebody's looking at you. Why is that person in the position they're in and they just hobble in here whenever they want to? Everybody with me? Sorry about that, but it's your mama talking. But remember what his mother said. Watch. It stuck with Moses all the days of his life. That's how important what she said to him was so important he remembered that. And any good, true, loyal mother that'll take her little babies, instead of send them to picture shows and dances and so forth like that, and she'll put them on her lap and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to make a group of people that's going to know that they ain't got to go to church. They want to go to church. They want to do the things of God. They want to read their Bible. But remember, it still takes that rod and staff. And on Mother's Day today, we took the staff, the rod for just a minute. That's okay. But listen, we've got, this is honing time, folks. This is serious time. We played for 60 years. That's the reason we're still here. We played for 60 years. Okay? If you don't change, then guess what? There's your mystery of iniquity and wow. But I've always said, and made this kind of a saying to mothers. We know written four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there's a fifth gospel, unwritten, and that's mother. She gets them before. Now watch this. She gets them before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's teaching gets to them. So the responsibility is placed upon you mothers and your fathers to raise these children for the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that's your heart's desire. I'm sure. That's your heart's desire. Now, no, we're not perfect. We do things wrong, and God forbid if we look down on people. I don't think we should ever look down on anybody. And we appreciate everybody that's here. We appreciate the things that y'all do. Y'all are just absolutely the cream of the crop, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. But we still, when you have crops, now remember, a tree grows better when it's pruned. A tree grows better when it's pruned.
Right.
You have to snip off some of the stuff that we call suckers on the corn, because what it does, it sucks the life out of the corn and doesn't let that life go up into the grain.
Right. All right?
So you have to cut those off. Same way with apple trees. Apple trees grow a lot better when you prune them. Right. Why? Because, and listen to this, because that tree, you and me, spend so much time on the branches that don't produce anything. Well, praise the Lord anyway. I hope you get that revelation. Because there's limbs that are never going to have fruit on them. Come down and look at my apple trees. There's limbs that ain't going to have nothing on them. But there's other limbs that's got blooms. Well, you want all that energy to go out to that place where the bloom is, because that's where the fruit's going to be made at. So that's why he's talking about pruning. Even Jesus talks about pruning. And grafting and all those different things. That's the same way with us. What are we going to do? Are we going to let it overcome us, or are we going to overcome the world? All right? We can let the world overcome us and just be dilatory Christians. And I don't want to be that way. I want us to be productive. I want us to be able to take a hold of the devil and look him in the eye and say, buddy, I have done everything that my father and my mother told me to do spiritually. I've listened to my father. I've read the Bible. I got my strength from this. I got my strength from the message of the hour. So, Satan, you have no strength. Because the only power he gets is permitted power. The power he gets is the power you give him.
Amen?
Amen. That's why he's not going to be able to. Listen, the all-powerful demon, he's going to be alive during the millennium. And his demons. But he's going to be in such a place that he can't work, because it's only going to be the bride and the 144,000 and whatever else, the fifth seal Jew or whatever you want to say, is going to be in the millennium. So we have nowhere. Brother Brown said it's a chain of circumstances that nobody is letting the devil into your mind. Because we that have had a body change, we're going to have a mind change too. We'll truly have the mind that God gave us before the foundation of the world. My brother Manuel read it. We were nothing. We bypassed all that, come down here in flesh to be tempted and tried. But then we heard from that part. But Jesus didn't hear from his theophany. He was his theophany. When he was born, God was born. Well, believe it all you want to or not. I believe that God was crying in a cradle.
Amen.
He decided that. I didn't.
Right.
He decided to do that. So that was God, Almighty God. That wasn't a second person.
Right.
If it was, then we need to find a real man to die for us. Right, Brother Darty?
Right.
But we know by the message of the hour where we get our strength from.
Right.
It's from the Word of God.
Amen.
Your mother, the mother of us all, is the Word of God. And that, to me, is a perfect mother.
Amen.
We all make mistakes, but this right here never will make a mistake.
Right.
So you're going to put your trust in this over here, or you're going to put your trust in this?
Right.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
We love you, mothers. We love everybody that's had a part in our life and continue to have a part in our life.
Amen.
We appreciate it. Brother Brown tells us, he says that a Holy Ghost-filled woman can help you if you'll listen to her. Maybe sometimes we think we're so much up here, guys, to where we can't listen to our wife. All right, well, there goes the narrow-minded thing again. Here, let me give you a pencil. It'll blind you. Just don't be so narrow-minded that our wife can't look at us and say, honey, I don't know about that. Now, not doctrinally. I'm talking about behavior.
Right.
Who knows you better than your spouse? God. But he gave you a spouse. The greatest thing besides salvation, the prophet gave us, I didn't read that quote, but I got it right here, next to salvation, the greatest thing that God could give you is a spouse. That's the way he wanted it. We are his spouse. We will be his spouse for an eternity. He loves us. He give us every provision to make it. It's up to us to decide what we're going to do with it. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll have communion here in just a minute. Just remember now, when your sisters go downstairs for the foot washing to see Brother Terrence down as the doors open there, and you'll get a card from the church, and you'll get a flower, a rose there from the church, and enjoy it. We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you for the things you do. We appreciate all your sisters because y'all take a lot off of us when you do the things you do with the special meetings and stuff like that. And we sure do appreciate that. So while we get ready for the communion, let's bow our heads just for a second. But just don't leave without getting, sisters downstairs. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day. Lord, as we enter into this next phase, Lord, maybe we remember that you give us our whole provision that we need, Father. You give us everything we need to make it through this journey. We cannot look at you and say, you didn't do this for me. No way. Because you're El Shaddai. Yeah. You're the breasted one. You're the one that we can draw all of our strength from. Yeah. And Lord, that Old and New Testament there together, Father, gives us the strength that we need, Lord. May we read more. May we study more. And Father, help us to pray more. Because if that's the greatest weapon, sometimes if we look defeated, I want to ask and say, have you prayed enough for that situation? Amen. We don't want to be Catholics where you depend on the pastor. God said you pray. Amen. Brother Branham was very adamant of that. You pray. And Lord, let us pray. Not just a prayer of thank you, Lord, and thank you for giving us another day and forget about it, but Lord, we may pray with earnest that in our soul that is in contact with you if we're born again. And even as Brother Ram says, we can get our flu stopped up. We can get things stopped up to where God has to go out on a limb and sit there for a little while and wait on you all of us, Lord, to hash it out and dig. But Lord, if we'll just come back to the Word of God, just come back to the center point of our Christianity. And Lord, live a Christian life, but live a human life, but we have a Christian life that we have to let that be our whole goal, is to know more about you. Because this world knows nothing. They know about a God. But as the prophet said, they're worshiping the God of this evil age. Lord, we are not worshiping the God of this evil age. We're worshiping you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Just rededicate each one of us here today, the ones that are watching in. We appreciate all of them, Lord, the group there in Ohio, different ones, Lord, that you would be with them. Continue to bless them. Bless each one here, Lord, as we continue in the communion of foot washing and doing the things that we need to do. May our mothers, Lord, have a special day today. May they have a time, Lord, that that set aside that we honor them for the things that they've done. And Father, for the ones that's passed on that don't have mothers, I pray that you'll give them comfort. Knowing that, Lord, that they're in a better place than we are today. And Lord, that you'll give us strength for the rest of this journey. Give us revelation more than anything. The only way we're going to get revelation, though, is by reading your word, studying and praying. It's not just going to come like an apple falling off of a tree. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you, Father, for all these men and women that you have here, Lord, brothers and sisters together. Lord, be with us as we take this communion and a foot washing, Lord. Just bless the ones that are among us. Be with the ones that are traveling. They'll get back safe, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just don't forget when you go downstairs to sisters to get you a little gift there from the church. We sure appreciate each and every one of you. So let's start our get rid of this frog. Start our communion service here. Now this is Paul. Yeah, give him the bottom. Just lift them. There you go. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So see, for often, go back. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, the taking of the communion, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes.
Amen.
And when he comes, we're going to take communion with him.
Amen.
Okay? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. Get everything out of the way today. This is the time to get everything. It's to true up everything, like we try to do at the end of the year. You know, you try to get everything trued up. Today, get all that iniquity out. Get all the sin that you had, all those thoughts and ideas and all those things we had.
Amen.
Let's clear them out today. Because if you ask God to forgive you, he will.
Amen.
All right? And he'll not remember them anymore. So for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I think I'm going to preach on that one time when I get finished with the seal, that one scripture. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if a man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Brother Branham said, pray for your pastor. He's praying for you. Pray for the aughts that you have against somebody, or maybe that somebody has against you. Just pray that God will wipe those clean, and that we can take this, the body and blood of the Lord, as a symbol that we are partaking of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, so let's stop. Let's bow our heads. Lord, make us more like you. Forgive us of our sins and our faults, Lord. Even our ideas that are wrong. I pray that you'd wipe them away, Father. And let us stand complete in you, knowing that the word of God is sharper, more powerful than a two-edged sword, that it cuts asunder. And Lord, when it does, I'm praying that it just cuts, as a circumcision, you just cuts away the old flesh. And Lord, it will be renewed in you today as we partake of this communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Heavenly Father, Lord, this bread's been made with holy hands. And I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify it now, Lord, as we partake of this. That we'll look to you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. That we know, Lord, this is an ordinance that you ask us to do. And Lord, if you ask us to do it, we should be happy and glad. As we're going to read the next scripture, we should be happy if we do this. Father, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's many thoughts and ideas in the world about communion. You know, the Catholic, they take it and they put the wafer in your mouth and they turn it into... Now, they see how people... See how they got people so... I'm sorry... so confused is that what they call it, substantiation, where when they put the wafer in your mouth, it turns it into the literal body of Jesus Christ. How'd that happen? No, it's bread as a symbol.
Right.
Because remember, his body was not broken as far as broke bones, but his skin was. Hello?
Amen.
His skin was broke. That's by his stripes we're healed. Okay? But not a bone, which is what? His structure. His structure was not broken.
That's right.
It was just his flesh was torn so that you and I could have healing. What a wonderful God. All the things that he's done for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this wine, Lord, has been made for day special. Lord, may we take it and remember you, Father, as you agonized on the cross. But at the very end, you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, what a Savior. What a wonderful, mighty God that we serve. And Father, as we partake of this, Lord, we think of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's a time of, this would be the best time of reflection. Because honestly, brothers and sisters, they didn't know what they were doing in the upper room. They didn't have, he said, you'll know this hereafter. So now here we are with a new birth. We know what these symbols are. And he said, do this till I come. Right? Do this till I come. So we're going to do it until he comes. But it's honoring what he did on the cross for us. Like I said, he died, shed his blood. They broke his body and his flesh, but they never broke his bones. Because the scripture says, not a bone was broken. But remember, he said, this, take heed, this is my body which was broken for you. What? The stripes. The thorns. They broke his skin. You think you've had a bad day? You wait till somebody takes a cat of nine tails and rips your flesh open, stripes your body, spits on you, and then drives a crown of thorns on your head, and you got to wear it for hours until you die. That's what our Father did for us. And he was an obedient child. And now here you and I are, obedient children, taking the communion. Amen. If you don't feel worthy, listen, I want to quickly tell you something. You can stand there long enough to where you can talk yourself out of taking communion. Because the devil's going to bring you this, bring you this, bring you that, bring you this. Number one, he's running his mouth, he's lying. If he's opening his mouth, he's lying, right? He don't want you to do this ordinance because you know what? God's got something for you if you do this ordinance. He's got something for you to help you through life. He's got something that, you know, this will not make us not hungry naturally, right? Okay? But spiritually, it should make us not hungry. Amen. Except for righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness. But he said, do this till I come. So that's why we do it. We do it because he told us to do it. God Almighty told us to do it. So that's enough for me. That's foot washing and communion, the whole, as the old saying is, the whole nine yards. Everything. Water baptism. There's just a few things God asked us to do. Okay? You know, he asked us to do these ordinances till he come. So that's what we're doing. And it's an honor and privilege to be able to take communion with all you guys. It's just a beautiful thing that we can run out of wine almost, because everybody that takes communion. Amen. And we appreciate that. Brother Collie, we can remember way back when you didn't have to make but one of those flats, and there's 40 to a flat, so it wasn't all finished then, was it? They were still a bunch left, but now we take almost two full flats sometimes when everybody's here. And I appreciate that. It tells me that you're growing. People are growing in grace and knowledge. Yet, Brother Aaron, don't forget Brother Manuel back there. And Brother Jewel Forney saying, won't it be a time? Won't it be a time when we'll look at him and say, hey, you told us to do this, and we've done it. And he says, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. And before you take this wine, we're going to work on ours. This comes from Brother Richard Wilson, so it should be pretty good. So the other that we're working on is, some of it turned into vinegar, and I'm sorry, but we'll see how this is. But Brother Richard sent us some, so we'll have it and be able to take it and not cough and wheeze all over the place. So, But this is for, listen, I wouldn't mind, though. It doesn't bother me to take it anyway. But he was so gracious. I love Brother Richard Wilson. He is just so much. He's got so much wisdom. He can just sit there and look at you and you learn something. Think about that one. He can just look at you. Because you say something to him and he looks at you and you know, well, that ain't right. Or that is right. So we had a good time. So let's partake. Amen. God's good.
Amen.
All the time. What a wonderful ordinance. Now let's go to the foot washing. And remember, sisters, when you head downstairs to get your, stop and get your little gift from the church, we sure appreciate all of you again. And we appreciate what you do. So let's go in our scripture now, John 13, verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Like I said before, don't ever say never to God. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, you have no part with me. All right? Simon Peter said, you know why that? Because if God Almighty can wash the feet that he made with the water that he made, with the cloth that he made and the bowl that he made, and the house that he made to have it in. Have I got there yet? Okay. He got down and washed their dirty feet. Simon Peter saith, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sit down again, he said unto them, Know you not what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. But now, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. Let's bow our heads just for a second. Dear Lord, one more time, we appreciate you, Lord, for giving us mothers to take care of us. And Lord, this word that's right here in front of my face, Lord, that's the nourishment that we need to get us out of here. And Father, you were so gracious to send us the right interpretation by your prophet, Brother Branham. And Lord, that we can have confidence. The world's looking for confidence. But we have confidence that we're in the right message with the right revelation. And I pray that you'll continue that with us, Lord. Be with us. Blessed be Brother Aaron's Wednesday. And Lord, all of us coming back together next weekend for the two services, Father. We'll put a lot together, those two services, Lord. Just be with us. Keep us healthy. Keep us safe. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sisters. You can head down to foot washing just. Remember to be reverent, and as they're washing feet, no loud talking or anything.